Good enough. Listen to a journalist describing the problem with perfectionism. First, you will have 1 minute to study the task below. Then you will hear the recording twice. While listening, match the interviewer's question, A to J, with the answers 1 to 8. There is one extra question that you do not need to use. The first one, 0, has been done for you. After the second listening, you will have 1 minute to check your answers. Example.
If you're a perfectionist and think that perfection is the ideal standard, raise your hand. You're not alone. If we're honest, many of us would raise our hands, as perfectionism is very common and often feels like the only option.
Question 1.
This is because it's very uncomfortable when we're less than perfect. And to guard against that discomfort, we continue to aim for perfection. It's a vicious circle, and a pointless one too. We can never be perfect, and we will always fail to meet our high standards in one way or another. So instead of aiming for perfection, which is impossible, why not aim for something more realistic?
Question 2.
The idea of good enough originally came from a psychoanalyst named Donald Winnicott.
Question 3.
In his work, Winnicott saw a lot of parents who were very sad because they often felt like they were failing their children. These parents were not doing anything terribly wrong. Their discomfort was due to the fact that they were trying to be perfect and could never quite achieve that. Winnicott developed his phrase, the good enough parent, to help his clients to feel better and to help them realize that children don't need perfect parents. Good enough was more than enough. And by sharing this principle with his clients, Winnicott gave them permission to abandon the often damaging ideal of perfectionism.
Question 4.
This idea isn't just important for parents, it's important for everyone. At work, at home, in relationships with others, and in our relationship with ourselves.
Question 5.
Being good enough isn't about accepting low standards forever. It's not about not trying or not caring because everything will probably be fine anyway. It's about recognizing that our efforts and intentions are often good enough. We can aim for our best, but we don't have to match the impossible standard of perfection.
Question 6.
When you feel disappointed because you have done something less than perfectly, ask yourself, so, it wasn't perfect, but was it good enough? You will probably reply with something like, yes, but it wasn't up to my standard. In this case, you should think hard about your standards and maybe talk to friends or family about them.
Question 7.
Maybe your high standards cause more problems in work and life than they solve. Aiming to do our best instead of aiming for perfection is often a far more helpful approach. This will probably lead to quite a small change in the way you work and the effort you put in, but a big change in the way you think and feel.
Question 8.
You can enjoy what you're doing more because you're not anxious about getting it perfect. The dialogue inside your head will be a kinder one instead of being critical and negative. It will also be easier to start difficult or unfamiliar tasks because they will feel more possible if you don't need to be perfect. Perfectionism often makes us waste a lot of time. When we are afraid of failing, of being less than perfect, we wait and wait instead of making a start.
You will now hear the recording for the second time. Example.
If you're a perfectionist and think that perfection is the ideal standard, raise your hand. You're not alone. If we're honest, many of us would raise our hands, as perfectionism is very common and often feels like the only option.
Question 1.
This is because it's very uncomfortable when we're less than perfect. And to guard against that discomfort, we continue to aim for perfection. It's a vicious circle, and a pointless one too. We can never be perfect, and we will always fail to meet our high standards in one way or another. So instead of aiming for perfection, which is impossible, why not aim for something more realistic?
Question 2.
The idea of good enough originally came from a psychoanalyst named Donald Winnicott.
Question 3.
In his work, Winnicott saw a lot of parents who were very sad, because they often felt like they were failing their children. These parents were not doing anything terribly wrong. Their discomfort was due to the fact that they were trying to be perfect and could never quite achieve that. Winnicott developed his phrase, the good enough parent, to help his clients to feel better and to help them realize that children don't need perfect parents. Good enough was more than enough. And by sharing this principle with his clients, Winnicott gave them permission to abandon the often damaging ideal of perfectionism.
Question 4.
This idea isn't just important for parents, it's important for everyone. At work, at home, in relationships with others, and in our relationship with ourselves.
Question 5.
Being good enough isn't about accepting low standards forever. It's not about not trying or not caring because everything will probably be fine anyway. It's about recognizing that our efforts and intentions are often good enough. We can aim for our best, but we don't have to match the impossible standard of perfection.
Question 6.
When you feel disappointed because you have done something less than perfectly, ask yourself, so, it wasn't perfect, but was it good enough? You will probably reply with something like, yes, but it wasn't up to my standard. In this case, you should think hard about your standards and maybe talk to friends or family about them.
Question 7.
Maybe your high standards cause more problems in work and life than they solve. Aiming to do our best instead of aiming for perfection is often a far more helpful approach. This will probably lead to quite a small change in the way you work and the effort you put in, but a big change in the way you think and feel.
Question 8.
You can enjoy what you're doing more because you're not anxious about getting it perfect. The dialogue inside your head will be a kinder one, instead of being critical and negative. It will also be easier to start difficult or unfamiliar tasks, because they will feel more possible if you don't need to be perfect. Perfectionism often makes us waste a lot of time. When we are afraid of failing, of being less than perfect, we wait and wait instead of making a start.